Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe that he's able, if you believe, oh yes, he can, stand up and give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. He's able.
He's able.
Don't need to stand for the scripture reading because I'm just going to preach through it. The third sermon of this series, Living a Life of Faith That God Blesses. I got a question on the table. Have you placed yourself under God's authority? Father, even now. We are in partnership with God. I'm going to step on some toes, so you might as well curl them up now. If you do know Jesus as your Savior, have you made him your Lord? There's a difference. There's a difference. Matter of fact, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we have to go back and make sure not only did we accept Jesus, but did we repent of our life that we used to live? The illumination of knowing, listen, even the devil wants to go to heaven, but he ain't going. It is that we came to the place that we recognize that we are not right with him. The illumination that he's holy and we're not. And that led to a place where we said, Lord, I need you to save me because there's nobody else that can save me because all my sins been against you. Lord, I accept you. There's a process. But then, I mean, the first song they sung was about being war saved by him. But that's Jesus as our Savior. That's not Jesus as our Lord. The second song they sung talked about the blessing of walking with the Lord. Once you have put ourselves under the authority of God, now you have the blessings of God. And let me just pause here. The blessing and favor of God does not mean you won't go through. Matter of fact, let me add to that. When you surrender to the Lord, you're gonna go through more hell than a person that has not surrendered. You know why? Because the hell you go through when you surrender is trying to make you step back. Can I? If he already got you, why would he mess with you? The devil is wise enough not to divide his own kingdom. But he surely trying to divide us. He's surely trying to make us walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, in the Bible, it starts with principles and it positioned principles in the right place. When he says, let us make man in our own image, he's talking about man's spirit, man being a spiritual being. Listen, God does not have a body. God is spirit. God the Son got a body when he became like us. That's how much he loved us. But in Genesis, when God is creating, and he is creating his crown jewel, his main masterpiece, when he is creating and he has already got it all worked out, what we are going through right now is not what God started with. We don't have a clue. There's no way we could have a clue. I tell people, everything we go through down here is distorted. It's that TV that some of us used to have before cable, before all these other things. And you had those rabbit ears. And remember, those rabbit ears would break, so you couldn't get good reception. And you're trying to watch your favorite show, and all you hear is shh. And you see that static? This is static. This is shh. And unless God is giving us illumination from his revelation, we don't know, and we don't know that we don't know. We tapped into it a little bit last week, that Satan had already rebelled, and that one of the angels left with him. And Hebrew tells us, Hebrews 11, well, now I want that one, Hebrews something, 12, says this. It says that there is an innumerable count of angels, I mean, past counting. You can't count enough. It's impossible to measure how many angels originally God created. And watch this. And to us, they are supernatural beings. They stood in the presence of God. And they originally, as scripture says, they was really made for us. And Satan, who used to be Lucifer, which means morning sun, brightness of the morning, was one of the highest ranking angels. And apparently he had pipes, which means music. And he got so full up with himself that he thought he could at least equal God. Pride is a dangerous, I think it's the most dangerous, I think it's the heart of every sin. Because it's the attitude of I don't need you, Lord. Here they are in this perfect place, because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, it says that God took the dust of the earth, formed Adam, and God does this. Hold on. If God is spirit, he don't need to breathe. It was not a breathing from breath to breath, mouth suscitation, because God is spirit. So when he leaned over Adam, then he breathed into him, watch this, what he made in himself, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 7. He made us in him. Not outside of him, watch this, in him. If we are made in his image, we had to be made in him. And then when he made the body that would contain us, he... Yeah. Are you walking more in the spirit than you are the flesh? Is the source of our living, is the source of our actions, is the source of our thinking, are we going back to the source? If you take a fish out of the water, what's going to happen to it? If you take a eagle and clip its wing, what's going to happen to it? When we're not operating in dependency, and we're not operating up under his authority, we die without even. Adam, Eve, as long as you are up under my authority, Genesis chapter 1, I have made you have dominion over all the earth as long as you stay under dominion. Hold on, watch what I said. He said, I have given you strength. I put everything under your hands because you're under my hand. As long as you're up under my hand, there is privileges, there is favor, there is ability, there is wisdom, there is direction. I will order your steps. I will be with you. I will show you. I will cover you. He said, everything I made is for you. But watch this. But you are for me. Hold on. God made us for himself. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, and I'm going to come back to the fall, but I need to illustrate something. It says that God came down in the cool of the day, and they heard him, and they went and hid themselves. It means that God came down every day to delight with his children, and his children delight with him. Enjoying, and he was like their father. Little children who mom and dad, if they're good mom and dad, they can't wait till you go home so they can run to you. They ran to him to see what he had in his hands today. Okay, our God is such a God. He wants to bless us every single day. He is such a good God that he got something new to show us to keep us in all of him. And when you're not in all of him, it's because we're not looking. There is a process that God is taking us through where God is saying, are you looking my way? Let me prove that. Moses is in the desert been tending sheep for 40 years, and he keeps looking at a bush. The bush has been burning, but it refuses to burn up. Matter of fact, he sees the fire, but he still sees the bush intact. And he tells his wife, watch this, I must turn aside to see what this is. Then when he go investigate, God says, Moses, take off the sandal off your feet because you're on holy ground. The disciples been told to go across the Sea of Galilee, and they're rolling, and it's a storm. Jesus is watching them. He knew that they were going to be in a storm. And scripture said, I think it's in Mark, said that Jesus is walking on water, and it's as though he would have passed them by because they are trying to get out of the situation by their own strength, and they had not looked up to see that he was there. And when they screamed, he called out to them. As long as you're busy doing you, as long as I'm busy doing me, as long as we're not looking his way, As long as we doing our thing. I mean, he's there, but you don't know he's there. God wants us to voluntarily to know that we can't, and he's the only one that can. You know what I realize? We waste a lot of time complaining instead of praying. As long as I'm complaining, I'm not praying. As long as I'm complaining, I'm beep, beep, blah, and I don't do that often. Beep, beep, but you know how we are. And what that means is we're trying to fix it. We're trying to control it. We're trying to do it. Through the crushing of life, I'm learning to come to him quicker. Through the problems of life, I'm learning I can't handle much. Through life hardship. Hardship teaches you can't. At least it should. At least for some folks still got their hands to the plow doing their own thing. Frank, what's that song? I did it. I have done funeral services where that's the song that was sung. If the truth be known, that's how we got in this mess anyway. Amen. Adam and Eve had everything. We're searching for what only God can give. And all of us have been searching, but I don't know to what degree we have come to the Lord who is waiting for us to come, because until we ask, he won't. Let me explain why. The angels had everything. But because it came too easy, Satan got full of pride and started a rebellion that he couldn't win. God's not going through that hell no more in heaven. So our choosing of whose side we're on is for down here. I should get more claps than that on that truth. I'm gonna let you think about it a little bit more. Earth is for the choosing of whose side you on. Lord, 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 Lord. To get me, God had to show me. God had purpose in me. The devil was trying to kill me. And when God allowed the spiritual realm to open up and finally came to my stupid self and said, choose. And I choose him. There was the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, and there was nothing in between. It was huge. It was beyond description, the magnitude of it. It was all of life. And when I said, Lord, I choose you, the kingdom of God, it was a presence. There was a power that swept over me. And when it swept over me, I felt this hit up against it. It was the kingdom of the devil. You can be under the devil's influence and not even know it. I didn't know it. There is no space where it's just you and me. Everything in our lives is being. I wish I had a string. Let me throw this string to you. You being pulled one way or another. What you do is being influenced. Bert, pull in that way. But this is that. When it's Satan doing it, he make you think you want to. This is in the spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm was made before the physical realm. So everything is influenced by the spiritual realm. And I hear people tell me, I'm talking about reality. And I'm thinking to myself, you are in such deception. I thought that too. You don't understand. You don't know how well I do understand. Lord, help me. There is a pulling on you, and we choose. I do what I want to do when I want to do it, and we laugh about it. Not knowing that every pull, whether it's towards God or towards the devil, there's an added consequence that doesn't show up till later on. See, we think because nothing has happened immediately. Matter of fact, let me just, Lord. The longer it takes to come, the worse it's going to be. And we think we slick. And we think we smart. My brothers and sisters, I preach this because I know this. And I'm tired of the devil having his way with us. I'm tired when God has given us the power to be set free. Listen. It does not mean that trouble don't hit, that you might lose a loved one, you might lose a child, but there is a grace, there is an anointing, that when you keep God the main thing and the first thing, God has a way of walking you through anything that life can throw at you. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything else this world has. If you are a child of God, this isn't home. God will bless you. God will walk with you. His favor will be on you. But this is for us to show to the world the reality of our God and get closer to him. He constantly, if you trust me, if you taste me, if you just take the next step, I will show you how real I am. How can I say this? I thank God that when I was choosing the other side, he shut some doors he didn't let me go through. I was telling somebody today, I said, oh, we've been up to the spiritual world. I probably was running from the spiritual world. I was going to the store, and it was nighttime, and I saw this older man get into his car, and as I was walking past the car, God said, watch out, because this is a setup to kill you. I'm in the middle of the car. The man guns it. I jump up, you know how they do on that horse, and you walk with your hands. I walk myself past the car, right in the car, till I got to the other side, jump off, and watch the man pull back and go, and he didn't even see it. I can't tell you how many times the Lord intervened. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not here because you was that good. You're not here because you had it like that. It was nobody but the grace of God that kept your crazy butt when you was acting crazy. It's not that none of us, it wasn't that you was good. Let me talk to some of y'all who've been in church all your life and you a good person. It was God who kept you because he knew if you got out there, you wouldn't make it back. Take any credit for nothing. When Satan comes to Adam and Eve, he comes because, watch this, he appears to them as something beautiful. Scripture says serpent, but it's not what we think. He is given permission to tempt. Somebody said, why? Because God wants us to love him, and love always includes a choice. If someone lock you up, chain you up, and tell you, say, you love me, that's not love. Whenever there's intimidation, whenever there's brutality, that's not love. You know what love is? Hand open. I want you to stay, but if you choose to leave, I love you enough because I don't want something that you don't want. If you don't want my heart, you don't have to have my heart. God is open-handed with all of us, and we are choosing. We are choosing. How can I say this? We are approaching God, not seeing him. Because life, Satan has lied to us about who he really is. Genesis chapter 3. Has God not said that you can't eat of any tree of the garden, he starts off lying and can't touch. You know what's so funny to me? God told Adam, Adam told Eve, Satan goes to deal with the conversation with Eve while Adam is standing right there. Hold on. She's going by what she heard secondhand. And she added to what he said. Hold on. Why didn't Adam speak up? It is the little things that's out of sequence that led to bigger things that messed the whole thing up. It's that being out of position. It's that coming out of authority. We think it's no big deal, but it's causing problems and other things. It's a little bit of an attitude. It's a little bit of disobedience. There's a not understanding how all this flows together and how we miss what God ultimately have in store for us because we're trying to play God and the world. And it starts at the beginning. And it starts when there's no evil, everything is perfect. Lord, help me. He tapped into what they wanted, and where God was going to take them, but said, you don't have to wait on it. You said that's it? The waiting is it? God, hold on, look what he said. He said, God's holding back from you. Hold on. Every day he's downloading into them. Every day he's walking with them. Every day he's teaching them. Every day he's showing them. Every day he's supplying for them. Every day he's there. Every day their significance are they his children. Their belonging is that they belong to him. Their power is he done given them all authority on the earth. They tell the elephant to lay down. He lays down. I mean, they got all these trees. They got God even said in the beginning, he said, there's gold on the earth. And what that means, I have planted things for them to create, to build, and do all this stuff. He said, I'm making this so much that we're going to be in kingdom together. I'm making them kings and queens. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice what he don't say. He don't say, my Savior is my shepherd. He says, when you follow me, now I will go before you and lead you, and all these blessings flow from the relationship. Okay, Lord. When we don't come up under his authority of being obedient and following him and falling more in love with him, and we have decided to do some things our way, the blessings won't come your way. I can't claim the favor of God when I'm out from under it. Listen, there's some things that God even though you're saved. But if you know you're not living in obedience, don't expect God. We do that with our children. You didn't come in when I told you to. You think you own the place, and you want to drive my car? For real, for real, for real. Hold on, you running away, and you want the keys to the car I gave you. I'm paying insurance. My name is on the title. Matter of fact, take off your gym shoes. I bought them too. I'll give you the clothes on your back. But since you want to be grown, we do it too. So if you could do it by yourself, if you can make it of yourself, well, why do God has to supply when we have come up from under his authority and think we're in authority by ourselves? Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, was saying, we don't need you. We got this. We don't trust you. We don't need your help. So next thing, I don't know what they heard, but they heard something. I don't know. Scripture don't give us, but they heard him coming. Hold on, I got a different problem. Why all this time you was cool being covered by the glory of God that you didn't even know you was naked? And now you recognize you feel insecure, you feel uncovered, you feel like you're not significant, you feel like you don't belong, you feel like you're not loved, and you go get leaves. What are we covering ourselves with? That only our relationship with God can cover? How can I say this? I used to take pride in how I could hang. I walked into 10th grade off of 11 or 12 Valiums and drank a 151 Puerto Rican rum. And only those that took it with me, and nobody took that much with me. In fact, if I remember right, I took the pills before I got with them, then I did everything they did. Then I fall asleep. Could handle it. Matter of fact, it made me nicer because I was already on mad anyway before I was. What delusion are you in? Since we're sharing delusion, that's delusion. Satan don't care what he got you caught up in, just that he got you caught up. And God constantly is trying to tell us, you love me, and now I'm making provision because I knew you was going to leave me, but I'm paying a cost to get you back. let me explain what Jesus said, then I don't have time for anything else. What he said, born again. Nicodemus come and said, okay, we got all this religion stuff and we doing all of this. And he come to Jesus at night because he don't want to be seen. That and he think that he's going to talk religion. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, if any man got to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. What he was saying is, that which you lost in Genesis, I came to restore. I came that if you repent and accept me, I will put into you my spirit that we can walk together, have relationship together, like it was in Genesis chapter 2. I'm not calling you to be a good person. I'm calling you to be changed. I'm not calling you to set these rules. I would put my moral standards in you, but you follow it because it's coming out of you, because as you walk with me, I will enable you to be what I have called you to be. Nicodemus, you got to know me. And when you know me, you're going to fall in love with me. But you can't do that by yourself. You have to come to me and admit that you need me. And when you admit that you need me, I will come and I will come to you and you will know me for yourself. You know what? I couldn't change me, but I didn't have to. The next day, if I said, Lord, I choose you, I heard birds. Y'all don't understand. I was so in tunnel vision. There had been years since I heard birds. And the weight, listen to what I'm saying. The weight was gone. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, he loved me. Thank you, Lord. Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that his love for you is not based on yourself? Do you know that if you open up your heart, he will come in? Do you know he wants to walk and talk with you? Do you know he's the best thing that could ever happen to you? If you know that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you, you need to give God a shout right now. We're in a battle. But the battle has already been won by Jesus. And it's surrendering to him that makes the devil quit pulling your string. It's good to be free. Oh, y'all didn't say that loud. It's good to be free. It's good to know that you can put everything in his hand. This, that, and everything else. His peace is real. His joy is real. Yeah. He will work miracles for you. He'll move things out of your way. I don't know how he fixes what he fixed, but if you give it to him, he will fix it. And if he don't fix it, he'll strengthen you to climb over it. Let's shut it down. I don't know where you are in your life. Don't know what battle you're fighting. I'm not so sure of the lie the devil telling you, but I know he's telling you a lie. I know that the best thing that will ever happen to you, his name, he says this, taste and see that I am good. And when you try him in the struggles, in the pain, when life isn't good, when you just don't know, he shows up. And he pours the oil of his anointing on you. And you know that you know that he got you in his hands. That's what he has for you. He loves you like that.